OAuth 2 Secured Rabbit MQ over MQP 1.0. Secure Spring Boot 4 Messaging over Rabbit MQ, a MQP 1.0 with OAuth 2, and the native Spring Rabbit MQ client. Same Keycloak scopes, simpler in place token refresh. Secure the broker, not just the API. Most services authenticate to Rabbit MQ with a shared password guest/guest, or some service account passed around a team and decide who can do what in application code. Both habits age badly. A shared credential is a blast radius, and an application-level permission check is trust on first read. There is a cleaner model, and it is the one you already use for HTTP. Make Rabbit MQ an OAuth 2 resource server. Each service authenticates to the broker with a short-lived, scoped access token from your identity provider, and the broker authorizes every publish and consume from the scopes inside that token. When a read-only service tries to publish, the broker refuses it, not the application, the broker. This post builds that model over a MQP 1.0. The protocol Rabbit MQ 4 speaks natively, with Spring Boot 4 and the new Spring Rabbit MQ client. The companion repo is Spring O off Tua MQP 1.0 and runs with one command, msi run demo. If you want the same model over the classic, a MQP 0.9.1 client, that is part 2 of this series. This post stands on its own. The demo is 3 Spring Boot services on 1 Keycloak realm. A dispatcher takes an HTTP job and publishes it to a jobs exchange scope jobs write. A worker consumes the job, uppercases it, and publishes the result to a results exchange jobs read, results write. A reporter consumes results and logs them results read and nothing else. Each service is a Keycloak client credentials client, and Rabbit MQ enforces those scopes on every operation, down to the routing key. So why a separate write-up for the MQP 1.0 build? Because the port surprised me. I built the MQP 0.9.1 version first, then moved it to a MQP 1.0 expecting a rewrite, since the wire protocol is genuinely different. No channels, no basic publish, a new addressing scheme. What I got was stranger and more useful. The security model did not move at all, the client side got smaller, and exactly one thing actually changed. What happens to a long-lived connection when its token expires? These are the field notes. The diff that wasn't. Start with what I did not touch, because that is the surprising part. The broker configuration is the same file, byte for byte. The auth backends, the resource server ID, the JWKS URL, and the scope aliases that turn jobs right into Rabbit MQ write, /job/job, are all unchanged from the 0.9.1 repo. Code block omitted. A MQP 1.0 needs no plugin. It is native in Rabbit MQ 4.x, so there is nothing to enable for the protocol itself. The OAuth 2 plugin Rabbit McAuth backend OAuth 2 is still what validates the JWT and maps scopes to permissions, and it does not care which protocol carried the token. The Keycloak realm is the same too. The same confidential client per service, the same client credentials grant, the same per service scopes, and the same audience mapper stamping AUD. Rabbit MQ onto every token. The topology is the same definitions JSON, 2 topic exchanges, jobs and results, and 2 queues, jobs in and results out. The reason all of that survives untouched is the whole idea, stated from the other side. The security boundary lives in the token, not the transport. The broker authenticates a JWT and authorizes a set of scopes. It does not care whether a MQP 0.9.1 or a MQP 1.0 delivered that JWT to it. So when you swap the transport, the boundary does not notice. That left column is the part nobody warns you about. A protocol migration sounds like it touches everything, and most of what you would worry about does not move. Less code, not more. The MQP 0.9.1 build needed a small bridge to get an OAuth2 token onto a broker connection. The RabbitMQ 0.9.1 Java client asks a credentials provider for a username and password. So there, I implemented one whose password was the JWT, Wired Spring Securities, OAuth2 authorized client manager behind it to mint the tokens, and bolted both onto Boot's Connection Factory with a Connection Factory customizer. It worked, but it was three classes of glue. On a MQP 1.0, that glue is gone. The client has first class OAuth2 support, so token acquisition lives on the connection settings, and the whole credential story is one builder block. Code block omitted. That OAuth2 block is the entire credential story. The client fetches the client credentials token from Keycloak itself and presents it as the MQP SASL password, because a MQP 1.0 always authenticates with SASL and the JWT is the password. There is no OAuth2 credentials provider, no OAuth2 authorized client manager, and no Connection Factory customizer. The Spring Security OAuth2 client machinery is not in the broker path at all anymore. It even kills a bug I had hit on the 0.9.1 client, for free. There, fetching the token over ClearDex behind Trefic deadlocked, the JDK's HTTP client tried an H2C upgrade that silently hung, and the fix was to drop Apache HTTP components 5 on the class path to force HTTP/1.1. The MQP 1.0 client's token requester pins its JDK HTTP client to HTTP/1.1 by default, so that workaround never has to exist here. The catch is that you give up auto configuration. There is no Spring Boot autoconfig for a MQP 1.0, so the environment, the connection factory, the template, and the listener factory are all at beans you declare yourself. A single AMP connection factory adapts the environment above to Spring a MQP. Code block omitted. There is one trap hiding in that hand wiring. The legacy 0.9.1 Rabbit template and channel classes are still on the class path, pulled intransitively by Spring Rabbit MQ client. Spring Boot 4 moved Rabbit auto configuration into a separate Spring Boot MQP module, which this project deliberately does not depend on. That is what keeps Boot from auto creating a stray legacy caching connection factory pointed at guest/guest that would shadow the MQP 1.0 beans. Add Spring Boot Starter a MQP and you silently get it back. So the port is more manual and less code at the same time. You write the plumbing by hand, but the credential bridge that was the fiddly part of the 0.9.1 demo collapses into one OAuth2 call. Same API, different plumbing. A MQP 1.0 has no channels and no basic publish. A producer attaches a link to a target address, and a consumer attaches to a source address, and RabbitMQTKS V2 address format maps the familiar model onto them. Publishing job submitted to the jobs exchange becomes a link to /exchanges/jobs/jobsubmitted, and consuming from jobsin becomes a link from /queues/jobsin. You do not write any of that. Rabbit AMP template and at Rabbit Listener take the same exchange, routing key, and queue arguments you already know and build the addresses for you. The consumer is line for line identical to the 0.9.1 version. Code block omitted. The publisher takes the same exchange and routing key too, with one difference worth knowing. Rabbit AMP template convert and send is asynchronous, returning a completable future you can chain, where the 0.9.1 Rabbit template call returned void. Code block omitted. The protocol changed underneath a near-identical API. That is the boring half of the migration, and boring is exactly what you want from the half that touches every line of business logic. The one thing that genuinely changed. Here is the delta that actually mattered, and the only part of the port I had to stop and think about. Token expiry on a MQP 0.9.1 has a nasty wrinkle. When a token expires on a live connection, the broker does not drop it. It keeps the connection open and refuses each operation with 403 access refused, so a long-lived publisher fails silently, while the HTTP endpoint in front of it still returns 202 accepted. The fix on 0.9.1 is to renew the token in place with the MQP update secret method, driven by a credentials refresh service you add yourself. A MQP 1.0 does the opposite. When the token on a live connection expires, the broker disconnects the client. That sounds worse, and in one sense the failure is more aggressive. But a dropped connection is loud, where a silently refused publish is not, so it is also the more honest of the two. And the native client turns the fix into a non-event. Configuring OAuth2 is the whole thing. The client schedules a refresh at about 80% of the token's lifetime and re-authenticates the live connection with an HTTP over a MQP put slash auth slash tokens request. No reconnect, no dropped message, no update secret, and no refresh method to implement. That credentials refresh service you would have wired by hand on 0.9.1 is gone, folded into the same OAuth2 block that already authenticated the connection. So the failure mode got louder and the fix got simpler. On 0.9.1, I had to add code to survive token expiry. On 1.0, I deleted it. The integration test proves the broker half of the story directly. It shortens the realm's token lifespan to 15 seconds, opens a connection, publishes once to confirm the fresh token works, then waits past expiry and asserts the broker closed the connection on its own. Code block omitted. That disconnect is exactly what the running services never hit, because their in-place refresh renews the token long before it expires. The test forces the failure the production path is designed to avoid, which is the only way to prove the avoidance is real. The failure shape too. One smaller change is worth knowing if you write the authorization tests. On 0.9.1, an unauthorized publish closes the channel with 403 access refused. On 1.0, there are no channels, so a refusal ends the session, and usually the connection, with the OASIS standard condition, a MQP, unauthorized access. There is a subtlety underneath that the test had to account for. The exchange level write check happens when the link attaches, but the routing key check happens on the first message transfer. So when the worker scope results write, pinned to result, tries to publish internal audit, its link to the results exchange attaches fine, and the broker only refuses on the send. Same refusal, two different moments, depending on whether it was the exchange or the routing key that the token did not cover. The least privilege guarantee holds identically. The reporter cannot publish at all, the dispatcher cannot cross into the results exchange it has no scope for, and the worker cannot use a routing key outside its result. Grant. The broker refuses each one from the token scopes, not from any check in application code. Only the error frame changed its name. So which one should you reach for? Since both protocols give you the identical security model, the only real question is which client to build on. My honest take, having now written both. For a new project on Rabbit MQ4, X and Spring Boot 4, reach for a MQP 1.0. The native client, the automatic token refresh, and the smaller credential surface are real. And MQP 1.0 is the protocol RabbitMQ is putting its weight behind. The hand wiring is a one-time cost of a single at configuration class, and you have seen the whole of it above. For an existing 0.9.1 system, do not migrate for this alone. Spring Boot Startera MQP is mature, auto-configured, and sits behind the larger pile of examples and answers. The OAuth 2 model is identical on both sides, so you gain nothing on security by switching. Move to a MQP 1.0 when you want it for its own reasons, like flow control or cross-broker portability, and treat the simpler token handling as a bonus rather than the reason. Either way, the part that matters, the security, is the same. That is the whole point of having put it in the token instead of the transport. Same key cloak, same scopes, a different transport. The broker config did not move, the realm did not move, and the scopes did not move. Each service is an OAuth 2 client. RabbitMQ is the resource server. The JWT rides as the connection credential, and the broker refuses every publish a token is not scoped for. The transport under all of that turned out to be a detail. The Spring client got smaller, the token lifecycle got more honest, and the security model never noticed the protocol change. This is part 3 of Spring Boot and OAuth 2. The foundational model is in part 2, and the user-facing HTTP edge is in token exchange with Spring Cloud Gateway. And the series continues at the AI client edge with an MCP authorization broker. The MQP 1.0 source is Spring OAuth 2 MQP 1.0. Clone it, run MSI run demo, and watch the broker disconnect a connection whose token it no longer trusts.